And he did test positive today, so we're stuck with the fourth string because the second and third weren't available. So we're going to start off this morning with a song. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the new year. We thank you for everything that you have put in front of us, everything that you've helped us to put behind us in the past year. Now be with us as we start our new goals, our new desires, our new beings in you as we start the new year. Be with those around us who need your loving grace. Be with Paul as he's recovering right now, and we hope that he'll be back in just another day or two. Now let the words that I'm about to speak resonate with everyone. Help me to do a good job, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was thinking about this, when he asked me, you know, Nick Foles was like the fourth string quarterback last week. He did okay. So today I have entitled what I'm going to talk about, Things That Christmas Brought Us. So much of the story of Jesus' birth is mentioned in the Bible, but not explained. And we may not understand in it without digging a lot deeper. So let's start with the shepherds in Luke 2, 16 through 18. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. So, being a shepherd back in the day was not a vocation of choice. If you've ever seen, for instance, the first series of their first year of The Chosen, you can see how the shepherds were out and about, and they weren't looked upon all that well. As a matter of fact, they were despised and considered unreliable, as all they did was tend to animals that were eventually going to be used for sacrifice. They were considered ceremonially unclean, not even eligible to be witnesses in the court, according to the priests. Tonight, or today, we might refer to them as losers. God, however, saw them in a different light, breaking the norms of social status. He chose them to be the first to witness Jesus' birth, a spectacular, awe-inspiring announcement, and tasked them to spread the word. An angel appeared to the shepherds in the brightness of God's glory, and they were terrified. The angel told them what all angels say: do not fear, for the Savior, the Messiah, has been born. What do you suppose was going through those shepherds' minds right then? Oh, but it wasn't over for them. Let's look at Luke 2, 13 and 14. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest in heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." So now the whole army of angels is out there with the shepherds, and I'm sure they were terrified. But these lowly shepherds, they believed the message, and they went to search out for everything that they had been told. Now, if we look at Luke 2, 17, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. So they truly are now the messengers of the birth of Jesus Christ. They became first-hand testimony about what they had seen and spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. But what did this news mean to the Jews? Well, the Jews were waiting for that Savior who was told to them by the prophets. For some, it was to deliver them from Roman rule. For others, it was to heal them from their ailments and sicknesses. And they just thought that's what the Christ or the Messiah was going to come to do. Jesus was born into this world, and yes, he did heal people. But all the while, he came to build a spiritual kingdom, delivering us from sin. Now, let's go back to those angels in Luke 2:10. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I'll bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people." Yes, here's that phrase again: don't be afraid. Let's kind of unpack this for a moment. The greatest event in history just happened. The Messiah was born, something the Jews had been waiting hundreds of years for. This huge announcement came to shepherds, who were kind of regarded, as I said, as the lowest people in society, and delivered by heavenly angels. Now, what do you think about angels? Cute cherubs? You know, celestial beings? Earthreal, beautiful, heavenly beings? Feminine-like people dressed in long robes and sporting wigs? Might I suggest something else? The biblical picture of angels is not always calm and sedate. Usually when angel or angels appear, people are terrified. And what does the angel say? You got it. Don't be afraid. Let me suggest a better image of an angel. How about a United States Marine in full battle gear, an awesome and terrifying sight? Let's look at Luke 2, 13 and 14 one more time. Suddenly, the angel is joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." In our verses, Luke describes a huge army of angels, of great heavenly hosts. Think Marine battalion, ready to go. I mean, that would get everyone's attention. So the angels have announced to the shepherds the coming of the Savior, the Messiah. So let's put ourselves back in that time, because appearances can be deceiving. This baby that was born was no peasant child, sleeping in a feeding trough, born in Nowheresville. But no, this baby is the eternal God in the flesh, creator of the universe. He humbled himself, taking on flesh, so he could become our Savior. His Father sent his heavenly army to make sure we would see just how valuable this baby really was. Have we noticed? We're all believers here, and we believe without seeing. Think of what it would be like to have been one of those witnesses. A wow moment in their lives. Yet these lowly shepherds saw, believed, and were the first witnesses to tell of the coming of Messiah. And our next scripture in Isaiah 7:14. All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So this was by Isaiah several hundred years before Christ was born. They told us it was coming. The incarnation of Jesus is the supremely paramount event in the history of the universe. Born of a virgin, he came to earth as God manifest in the flesh, fully God in his divine nature and fully man in his human nature. Each one whole and perfect, joined together in one person, undivided. It's something that's hard to conceive, but you really have to think about it to understand. He was God and he was man and all one. He came as Emmanuel, which means God with us, taking the form of a servant. Even beyond being with us, he was one of us. If we look at Hebrews 4:15, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Jesus identified with us because he experienced the full range of temptations throughout his life as a human being. We should be comforted by the fact that Jesus faced our temptations and he can sympathize with us. We can be encouraged because he did not give in to sin. Every time we resist that temptation, we become more like Jesus. The question of the purpose for Jesus' incarnation has more answers than I can cover today. There are many biblical references to Jesus, the fulfillment of the offices of prophet, priest, and king. We could write of the numerous ways in which he displayed wisdom, power, and the glory of God, and his destructions also of the works of Satan. But the one thing our Savior revealed to us most eloquently and profoundly is this: God's love for lost mankind. If we look at 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. That's from Paul writing to Timothy. In this verse, Paul wasn't interested in protecting his image as much as being an example. He was never afraid to share his past because he knew his failures would allow others to have hope. At times, all of us hesitate to share past struggles with others because somebody might think less of us. And that goes for everyone. Many of you know I spent 25 years as a police officer and police sergeant. And when I came on a job, policing wasn't like it was today. It was starting to change, But unfortunately, the people that were teaching us were teaching us the old ways. And it was tough. I'm proud to say that I worked in a probably one of the most diverse communities in the United States, in Oak Park, Illinois, where you could buy crack cocaine on one corner of town and be in a 2 million home a mile and a half away. So you had to have a lot of hats on during that 8 hours. And some of the things that I've shared with people over time, I'm not necessarily proud of them, but sometimes you have to get those things off your chest. And if somebody thinks less of me because I've shared that, it's not my problem. It's theirs. And I do it so that they understand how things and people can change. Paul shows us that vulnerability can open the way for sharing the gospel. We've heard in recent weeks here at West Hills that Christ shows patience with us when we doubt or rebel. He always stands with us, even during these difficult times. Jesus came into the world as the only means of salvation for a sinful man. Again, the only means of salvation. In the Old Covenant, there had to be shedding of blood for forgiveness. In the New Covenant, only the blood of a perfect, sinless, unblemished Savior could be an acceptable to satisfy God's righteous requirement for the payment of our sin. Excuse me, and that was Jesus Christ. Jesus willingly offered himself one time for all to sacrifice for the sin of the world. Imagine. I mean, just think. Jesus knew blood had to be shed. His blood. And he willingly put himself into that position. And I assure you, he knew how absolutely inhumane and brutal that death would be. But he went forward with it for us, to save us from our sin. Let's look at Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Emmanuel. God is with us. God is for us. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for everyone being here, for those that are watching at home. Be with those that need our help this week. And let's get this new year started on the right path in your glory, Lord. Amen. I have a couple of announcements. Have they changed? Okay, so Wayne Johnson's memorial service has been moved from tomorrow to a later date, which we don't know yet. And Jeff Vitt passed away yesterday. His service will be later this week at CCCH, and there'll be more information put out on that. They don't know what it is right now. Thank you for coming. I got you out a little early. Have a great day.